Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 247, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of 247.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, in the 40th chapter. Isaiah, chapter 40. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, and that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely in the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, and get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, have taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image. The goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he and that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, and that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, and they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who sparest us again, despite what we are, and what sin lies within, and what comes forth from moment unto moment, and thou who givest unto us life, health, and strength, and thou who givest unto us thy holy word, and that we may gather again under the administration thereof. Thou who dost pour out upon us, despite ourselves, a blessing after blessing before thee. And must we also soon appear to give an account of every one of those blessings? And then who of us shall stand in that great judgment? And when thou wilt ask for the fruit of all the labors that have been bestowed upon us, and when thou wilt ask for the fruit upon the preaching, upon the reading of thy holy word, and when thou wilt ask for the fruit upon the dealings of thee with our souls, and the withholding of the rain, and the pouring forth of the rain, and the withholding of the sun, and the shining forth of the sun, thou wilt require of us the image in which we have been created. And what shall we answer unto thee? Then for 1,000 questions, we shall not have one answer, but then we shall know that we stand guilty in the sight of an all-knowing God. That thou may open our eyes in the time in which that we are living, that before that we stand in that judgment, that we may be given a saving impression of our great need, of all our sin and guilt, and that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life. For as we have sung together, and that life is a short life, and then we go each one of us to our very long home, to an eternal home, and it shall be with us, O Lord. Either it shall be well, or it shall be woe. And thou knowest that from our side, and then it cannot be well, but it must come then from thee. And therefore we do gather Sabbath after Sabbath day. But therefore thou hast also given thy own Son into this world. And therefore thou wast willing to leave the place of thy glory, and that thou wast willing to humble thyself, even unto suffering and unto death. Thou wast willing to pay that great and awful price that a man had indebted himself. Thou wast willing to give thyself. And thou art also giving thy holy word, and the institutions that thou givest in this world, the ministry of thy word. Lord, wilt thou also bless and sanctify this in the heart of each and every one, that thou may go before that preaching of all thy truly sent servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou supply for those who are persecuted? Wilt thou encourage them from above? Wilt thou supply for all the work of the missions wherever that they may be in this world? Wilt thou go before All those that are called by thee to serve in the offices, elders and deacons and thy servants. Remember him also that may be gathered with us even in this afternoon hour. From our sister congregation, Lord, may thou bless his labors also in the midst of his own and our congregations. And that thou may go before all the denomination in which we may labor, O, that thou may cause thy truth, that truth that thou hast given unto us, that we may begin again to consider in this morning hour, by the hand of our forefathers, whom thou hast instructed in the way of truth, whom thou hast taught in a spiritual truth, whom that thou hast given a great wisdom, and that they may also write for the sake of us and of our children, that we may not be strangers of that truth, that we who must bring thy word, we who must serve in the offices, we who must teach in the schools, that we who must raise our children in the homes, we who must lead, we who must go before, that we may not be strangers of that truth, but that it may have taken hold within our hearts, and that we ourselves may be an ensample unto those to whom that we are sent, for whom that we are responsible. Lord, that thou may remember also our children, all of the schools of our denomination, our own school in this area, all those who are taught therein, our children who also are taught in their own homes or in other places. Lord, may thou remember each and every one of them, and grant in the days of their youth that blessed and tender fear of thy holy name, that thou may seek them out who will never seek after thee because they are our children, and who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean. And we are corrupt, and so they are corrupt. Oh, convert us and convert them, and work mightily amongst our youth. Remember them in the workforce. Remember them in universities and colleges, where Satan's power is so strong. Lord, that thou may keep watch over and protect them, and give unto them to love that truth that we may bring out of thy word, that they may experience it in their own soul, and that they may steadfastly be given to cleave thereto their entire life long. Wilt thou look upon all those that are sick and afflicted, and all those that need thee in special ways, whether it be in the mind or in the body? Wilt thou stand on the right and on the left to bless efforts of physicians and nurses and doctors, and all those that care for others? Wilt thou look upon those that are in the prisons? Wilt thou give true repentance to those who are guilty? Wilt thou give steadfastness and courage and strength to those who are innocent and who must suffer therein? And wilt thou deliver in thy own time? Wilt thou be with all those in this world that are abused? Wilt thou remember those who do suffer from addictions to drugs, to alcohol? Lord, that thou may strengthen each and every one. Wilt thou look upon those that have left that truth, and that they have been taught in their youth? Oh, that thou may cause them on thy day to remember again, and that way which they were instructed in their youth, and that thou may bring again with weeping and with supplications. Lord, remember us. Remember our nations, our rulers, all those that govern us, that sit upon the high places in this world, where the powers of Satan also do seek to exert their influence. Wilt thou cause them to bow their knees? And wilt thou cause them to know, and that they have to give an answer before their judge? Wilt thou look upon all those that do seek to make our voice to be heard before them? Wilt thou give wisdom also in those ways? Lord, do remember us as a flock in this afternoon hour. We are gathered around this, thy holy word. And thou knowest all that lies within us. By nature, there is no place. No place for thee. No place for thy word. No place for thy truth. No place for thy son. Oh, then it needs to be made. And that room needs to be made by thee. Well, we beseech thee then, and that thou may come with the discovering power of thy Holy Spirit. And wilt thou open unto us our guilt and our sin. And that young and old, fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, but also the little children, whom thou art able to convert in their youth, and to call as a little Samuel, so that they may be given to understand those things which are most important. Oh, come, Lord. Come in our midst and be as one that serveth feelingly and believingly. Oh, do it for the sake of thy own great name and in the forgiveness of all of our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Lord, and the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance. In thy mercy, answer me. The last collection today is for our school. 240, 1, 2, and 5. Thank you. Congregation, there are some things which are of very great importance. There are other things of lesser importance. And then there are other things that are of no importance at all. And the ability for us to distinguish between things which are important and things which are not important is in itself something of very great importance. And why? Because our time is so very, very short. 80 years, we read in God's word, the Lord says that the strong may stay. One came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to him, "Are there few that be saved?" And the Lord Jesus did not answer this question. Instead, he laid before him something which was for him of much, much greater importance. Then he said to him, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many will seek to enter in and shall not be able." There are two things that are of very great importance. One of those things is concerns the church, which you are a member of, which you have joined yourself to. And what is so important concerning that church? It is of great importance that the church is part of the true church of God. Why is that important? We read in our confession that there is one God, and if there is one God, there is one true church. And outside of that true church, then it is impossible for us to be reconciled unto that one true God. Thus, what an important thing it is that that church which we have joined ourselves unto in this world is a part of that true church of God. But there is also something else of great importance, and that is whether I myself am not only an external member, but whether I am a member of that true spiritual church of God of all ages. Why? Because we read in God's word, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And many are going lost with the outward membership which they may have in the church. Thus, with how much earnestness are we now seeking in our life to know these two things? 2 weeks ago, we finished the consideration of the last Lord's Day, the last question of our Heidelberg Catechism. Thus, in this afternoon, we wish to begin again. But then it is possible that sometimes we ask, why? Why, young people, do we do this every Sabbath afternoon? That we are taking another Lord's Day, another question of our Heidelberg Catechism. It is not because the Heidelberg Catechism is equal to the Word of God. No, it is not the inspired Word of God. No, it has been drawn from, it is according to that Word of God. But it is of great importance concerning those two matters which are of great importance. The Heidelberg Catechism is one of our confessional standards. Thus, it is one of those things by which we may investigate whether or not that we as a church, as a denomination, are part of that true church of God. We are not the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church, which says that you as congregants ought to believe us as office bearers because of some authority that is given unto us. No, the Lord says in His Word that you have a great responsibility. And the Bereans, they are commended. Why? Because they did not just receive from the mouth of the apostle what he had to say, but they did go to their places and they did compare it with the holy Word of God. Thus, when we have 300 hearers, then we ought to have 300 judges of what we say. Thus, we are not as a church defined by a particular minister. Never follow a minister. But as a church, we are defined by our confessions. Thus, we may ask, do we now compare? Do we now read? Do we now set those confessions personally next to that holy Word of God, that we may ask, is this now the true Church of God with which I have joined myself? But now in the second place, that Heidelberg Catechism, that is also a great aid concerning that second matter which we say is of great importance. And what is that? Whether I am personally, whether I am inwardly a member of not only that external church, but whether I am a member of that true church of God. And that book that is often called a book of comfort. Why? Because of the mysteries of that life of God's true children that may now be laid out in that book. Even in the way as we may go from step to step of personal experience. And then it is so good to that people when they may hear a little along the way of that way in that the Lord is leading His own people. We hope, young people, we hope that that book may also become for you a precious book. Do not take it lightly, what we have received by the hands of our forefathers in our confessional standards. That was a church that was led by the Lord through ways of great persecution. Or they were instructed by the Lord in their own soul of what free and sovereign grace is for the chiefest of the sinners. And maybe you say today, you cannot find yourself in that word. Or you say today, maybe, that you must say that it does not have so much interest for you, but, oh, learn it. Learn it, read it, and may the Lord give you a cry in your inner chamber that you may say, Lord, oh, lead me in that way that the Lord leads all his people. We begin again. Lord's Day 1, only question 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. So far, our Lord's Day, the only comfort in life and death. First, why this comfort has become necessary, and second, what this true comfort really is. First, the necessity, and second, the substance of the only comfort in life and death. What is thy only comfort? Thus our catechism that begins with a matter that is of very great importance, that is comfort. Before sin came into the world, then there was no need for comfort. And why not? Because without sin, there was also no consequences of sin. Then there was no pain, there was no affliction, there was no misery, there was no despondency, there was no depression. No, then men did not need to be comforted. We cannot fathom the happiness of our first parents. Oh, the fall. The fall has brought such a very great misery into this world. Do we ever think, when we sin, do we ever think of the evil of sin and how much misery that sin has now brought into the world? Or how grieving that sin then must be unto our Maker, to our Creator. Our catechism, that also begins in a very personal way. It does not ask what is the only comfort in life and in death, but it is beginning with us. Or it asks, what is thy only comfort? Thus, in the very first place, they say that comfort that is necessary for each and every one of us. Do we ever feel that? The necessity in a personal way of true comfort. Indeed, if we are a person in this world, then we will feel something by times of the necessity of comfort. Why? Because there is no one in this whole world that is exempt from the consequences of our sin. But, I've mentioned that some time ago, young people, the Lord, He speaks in His Word, not in the first place for the sake of all the natural things. No, but the Lord is speaking in His Word in the first place concerning those things which are spiritual. And thus also it is with comfort. And then the Lord speaks in His Word of a comfort that is necessary much more than all the comforts and that we do need in this present life. What is that comfort when we are sick, when we are afflicted, when we are depressed, when we are despondent, when we are persecuted in this world? What do we do, boys and girls? What do we do when we would comfort one another? When we have lost a loved one, perhaps, what do? We go to them, that we may be with them. That is comforting. No, maybe we have so little to say. Perhaps our words are so few because it is so impossible to express the depth of that misery that sin has brought us into in this world. And yet, there is comfort. Why? Oh, there is comfort only when we may be together and we may feel the support of one another. When that is impossible, maybe we send a card, maybe we send a little letter. Then we know that this, our friend, they are even just thinking of us. Thus, that is to us a comfort. Then they are at least with us in their thoughts. Then we do not go alone in our trouble. That is actually even the very meaning of this word, comfort. Come, or to be together, and fort, or to be strong. Thus, for to be strong together, comfort. We know that after the Lord has created man, then He has said that it is not good that man should be alone, and therefore He has made him an help, meet to be with him. And then especially after the fall, the Lord, knowing by His decree that that fall would take place, that is now one of the greatest blessings that we may have in this world, that we may be of a comfort to one another. And then how difficult that it is, may we remember those who are not able any longer to be with one another. And yet there is something much greater. Why? Because in our fall, we have separated ourselves. We have separated ourselves from God Himself. And thus, in this separation, then we have lost all of our true comfort. There is not a man in this world that does not feel something of that separation. That is actually the basis of all of that religion that we may see from the east to the west and all the nations of this world, the seeking of God, of some God in some form. The human soul is not ignorant of the existence of God. This we know, part of our innate knowledge, or what is it, that makes man so afraid? One of those things that man makes man most afraid, that is death. And why are we so afraid to die? Because man knows that after death is the judgment. Man knows in his inner being, without being instructed, that he has to stand in the judgment seat of God. Then man, in his rebellion, in following the way of our father Adam, this he tries to suppress. He tries to comfort himself. He says, I am still healthy. I am well. And then I comfort myself and still perhaps with the thought that I shall remain alive for many years to come. Thus man attempting to bury all of his fears. But they reappear in a moment. They reappear in a moment, in the moment of an accident, in the moment of a sickness, in the moment of great danger, and then those fears, they are again coming in a moment into the foreground. And thus our fathers, they ask a very important question. And what is that question? They say, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Is it not a wonder that such a comfort even exists? Seeing what we have done in paradise, considering our rebellion, that it is still possible and that God's servants may preach God's word, which speaks about comfort. And then there are not two or several comforts, but as our fathers say, according to that word of God, one comfort in life and in death. There may be many things by which we comfort ourselves in our life, but it will not be so in our death. Because we can sit and think about death when we have our health and our strength. And then we can think that we have comfort. But only let death stare us in the face. And then all these supposed comforts, they will fall by the wayside. But now in true regeneration, death becomes reality. No, then we do not need to be sick, boys and girls. Then we do not need to have an accident. But in true regeneration, death. And all that is going to follow death, that I have to appear before God, that becomes so real. And then you may understand a little bit how that this book that becomes a book of comfort to God's true people, what is now thy only comfort in life and in death, how faithful were our fathers that they would not have us to be deceived by some false comfort. Are we also faithful? Are we faithful and so honest with ourselves concerning that true comfort? with all the comfort man is seeking in this life, yet we despise that true comfort that is in our nature. It is corrupt, and it seizes every comfort in this world, in this life, except for that only comfort. What is that true comfort? That is our second thought. And it is the opposite of what the world, of what Satan, and what our own fallen hearts tell us that it is. What did Satan say to our first parents? He said, be free. He said, be your own guide. He said, be your own God. He said, you may be the one who decides and who tells what is right and what is wrong. He said, comfort and happiness that is found in independence. Do you think so too, young people? Maybe you say, if only I can come out from under the shackles of my parents, then I will be happy. I look for that time when I can be free. And when I can make my own rules and my own laws. Oh, so man, he has sought his happiness in his independence from the Lord. That is the way that we continue to live. And in the world we hear it. You have to be yourself. You have to throw off all restraints. Every man has to do what is right in his own eyes. And now our instructors to tell us just the opposite. They say no. True comfort that does not lie in independence, but true comfort that lies in dependence. If you will take a little infant and you see him in his mother's arms, then you say, what a blessed place. What a comfortable place. Or he is in a place wherein he is cared for by someone else. Then there is someone else who is responsible for him in all things. Man, in his rejection of God, tries to comfort himself by depending on everything that is outside of God. We read some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. Thus, dependence, or what are we looking to trust in the works of man, in the technology of man, in the riches of man, in the insurance policies of man, and so on in this world? Why do we do this? Because we are unbelievers. Because by nature we have not faith. Because by nature we do not believe in the living God. But what is now going to happen when we die? All of those things we have to leave behind us. And there will be absolutely not the least particle of comfort in anything that we have comforted ourselves with in this world. And therefore, our instructors show what is now that true spiritual comfort that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thus, what is now that only comfort? No, it is not alone that Christ has come into this world. It is not alone that Christ has suffered, that he has died, that he has paid the price for sin. That is not enough. We have heard it. When that blood that will stay in that basin, though that lamb would be slain and never applied to the doorpost of those houses, then there was no comfort for those firstborn. It is also not merely that grace is freely offered to sinners, though indeed it is, but that is not in itself that only comfort when there are no hands to take of that which is offered unto us. No, what is now that true comfort, that is that I belong, that I belong to him, that I am, that I know that I may be engrafted into that living vine. Then I am only what? Then I am only a branch. I am only a branch of that vine that is taking all of my life and all of the blessings out of that vine. Know that I am not my own master, but I am but a servant. There is another who directs me. There is another who guides me. There is another who leads me. There is another who protects me. Then I do not live for myself. Then I do not serve myself, but then I live for him. Then I serve him. Oh, then I am no longer standing for my own account, but I am standing for his account, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. True comfort that is not over against natural sorrows. True comfort, we can read our fathers, they say, they are over against spiritual sorrows. Do you have such sorrows? Sorrows for sin, for guilt, for transgression, for disobedience, for rebellion, for corruption. Do you have such sorrows? And then especially a sorrow over what? Especially a sorrow over separation. Separation. Separation from God. And when we are separated from him, then we are not together anymore. And when we are not together anymore, then we have lost all our comfort, because we are alone. Are you alone? Do you ever feel alone? Maybe, young people, you are in the midst of a large family, and you say, sometimes I feel so alone. Or you may be in the midst of our large school. You may have many friends. You may laugh with them. You may play with them. You may work with them. You may learn with them. And yet you say, I feel so alone. Oh, natural sorrows. Natural sorrows, they are common to everyone in this world. But not true spiritual sorrows. Can we tell the difference? What does the apostle say? He says, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. It worketh repentance. That is the fruit of godly sorrow. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, you are going to weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. When would they weep? When would they lament? They would weep and lament when he was laid in the grave. Then they were sorrowful. You say, why? They had to miss him. And they loved him. Yes, that is true. But there is much more. Who was he? Oh, he was for them the mediator between God and their soul. And when they had to miss him, then they had to miss God. Is that your sorrow? And he said, your sorrow that will be turned into joy. Was it? It was. When? When he arose from the dead. Oh, then they were comforted. Why? Because they may be with him. Comforted with his presence. But not only that. Oh, no. But now, they may be reconciled through him unto God. Now they may come back unto him. Is that now not the true comfort? Let us sing. Psalter 203, 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203. and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life. We read here, congregation, a language of true faith in exercise. And when that faith may be in exercise, then it is so strong that, as the Lord Jesus said, that it is able to remove mountains. Then what a rest and what a peace that may be experienced in that soul, comfort, both in life and in death, everything. The rod, the chastisements, the disappointments, all the rejoicings of mine enemy against me, then everything subservient unto my salvation. Oh no, no, we do not say that that church of God is always in such a place. But our Father speak here of the exercise of true saving faith. And now it is in those moments, and that that faith may be an exercise, that that church, they may see things as they really are. When Thomas could not believe, then he did not see things as they really are. And when we will not believe, we do not see things as they really are. Do you know who saw things as they really were? Though they did not even appear to be so, Hannah. We read she rose up and her countenance was no more sad. Oh, then she may see things as they really were. And then she may be comforted. Because it is often in those greatest trials that the Lord is giving the comforts of that faith. And then a sling and some stones, they are sufficient to come against all the might of my enemies. Oh, then it is enough just to have to be reduced to 300 men, just with pitchers and lanterns, to come against all the host of the Midianites that are laying as grasshoppers in the valley. Why is it enough? Because they knew that they were not their own. And then their strength was not in numbers. And their strength was not in weapons. But their strength was in the Lord himself. And then not a hair can fall from their head without his will. And if it is his will, then it is good. Or then they may rest in that. When faith may be in exercise, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say? In the midst of that trial, with that mighty king who was ready to cast them into that burning fiery furnace, what did they say? Oh, blessed faith, blessed comfort in life and in death. What did they say? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from that burning fiery furnace. and he will deliver us from thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, and we will not bow down to that image which thou hast set up. Oh, how God glorifying are the blessed fruits of true saving faith, to be coveted children of the Lord, to be coveted with all your heart. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Does not say able to live unto him. Then I can sanctify, then I can wash myself. But it remains a people that are without power to perform it. Oh, wretched man that I am. It remains a small beginning of disobedience, but sincerely willing. Why? Because he has a willing people in the day of his power. Paul says that I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Congregation, what is now thy only comfort in life and in death? There is only one. There is only one. Do you know something of that comfort? Do you know just the smallest part of that comfort? Our fathers do not leave it just with doctrine. No, our fathers speak about the necessity of the personal benefit without which we will go lost with our doctrine. The Lord said in our creation, it is not good that man should be alone. Social creatures, in all the trials of this life, oh, how good that we may have one another. But what is it now to experience the presence, the nearness, and the communion of God himself? Do you desire that? That is the reason that he sent his Son into the world as mediator to bring a people back unto himself. Then the psalmist, he says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what men can do unto me. Or we may enjoy the presence of one another in this life. But you know something? When we die, we go alone. Young people, think about it. Think about it. When we have to leave one another, maybe you have also stood there already once in your young life by the deathbed of a friend, of a parent, of a brother, of a sister. And then the most that you can do to give comfort is that you may stand there by their side. You may hold their hand. That is now the most that you can do. And soon they have to depart, but you cannot go with them. But you know what David said? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, blessed, blessed comfort in life and in death is that also thy comfort. Amen. Oh, Lord, it will not be ours unless thou wilt apply it to us. Oh, we beseech it of thee. Oh, cause us to seek it, Lord. Cause us to seek it with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength, because it is now the most important thing in that short life that we have here below. But wilt thou also work it? Come with thy Spirit, bless thy word, forgive our many sins. And wilt thou be with us further in this day? Help those that bring thy word further. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help us to do our labors in the week that is to come with faithfulness, with diligence, in the home and by the way, in school or at our work, and wilt thou keep us from all sin and evil, danger and harm. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 347, 1, 3, and 4, unto the hills, around do I lift up my longing eyes. O, whence for me shall my salvation come? From whence arise? From God the Lord. Doth come my certain aid from God the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 347. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.